You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
I gotta tell you, Matias, it's throwing me off, bro. It's so hot, and it's like 97 degrees, and I'm watching this soccer, and everyone's got winter jackets on and stuff, and hats. It's throwing me off, bro. It's winter time in Australia. It's winter time there. Like, I saw a lot last night, bro, when they got to the half, they handed, like, jackets, and I saw one of the girls was shivering. She's, like, shivering. She's all sweaty, and they're like, here's a jacket. They all had, like, these big, thick Nike jackets on and stuff. And I'm like, damn. And same thing, I was watching, like, the pregame show, and the girls, the women that were hosting the pregame show were all wearing, like, long, like, sort of jackets and stuff, like it was Christmas time. And, yeah, it's the dead of winter in Australia. Everything's backwards there, huh? Shouldn't the field be some sort of, like, different thing?
Make it rectangular or something. It looks hot when the sun's out, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does. It looks nice. Like, it's true. Like, you see, it's like, oh, man, it looks like... I know, they were showing the pictures of the ocean and the beach and stuff. And I was like, man, it looks nice. But look at the coach. Look at the coach of Switzerland, bro. She looks like a sailor. She's got, like, that thick wood, like, sailor jacket on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're wearing winter gear, bro. Like, it's winter time for real. It's cold. Like I said, nighttime, it's getting cold.
Those are good jackets. No, you're right. That the Swiss coach, she looks bundled up. She looks ready to go.
Yeah. Like, she just ain't like, oh, I got a jacket on. No, she looks like she's dressed up.
It like, looks like it's winter Christmas time
in Russia. Yeah.
It looks like you're exactly. Shopping at the mall. She looks like, honestly, that's a nice jacket. What was that, Gucci? It looked like a little, that was a nice jacket. She's out rocking the old athlete, bro. Adidas, you know?
She's the coach of Switzerland, bro. I guarantee you, like, her outfit probably costs like 38,000 euros. Like, when you combine her jacket's probably like 6,000. She's got a Rolex on, you know what I mean? They all dress well. I've been to Portugal. Even homeless people dress well in Portugal. All right, here's a corner kick for Switzerland. It's true. I didn't see... like that. Even homeless people dress well in Portugal. It's true. It's Europe, man. All right, we got a quick corner kick out of this. You know what? Damn! That's another one of my favorite ones. Will there be a corner kick in the first 10 minutes? Forgot about that. I got scammed, bro.
I got to admit, I'm feeling a little soft on this 3-0, Gabe. I got to admit, I don't know about this 3-0.
Yeah, me too already. I'm thinking 1-0 now.
yeah, exactly. And then, yeah.
I didn't bet the over. I didn't bet the over, but I did lay the 1.5 with Switzerland.
Philippines are scrappy, man.
All right. You know what? You're freaking me out, bro.
Well, they play, you know, like you said, half of these girls are American.
Yeah, they're all from Angel City. They're all from L.A., man, and Orange County and stuff, these girls.
You know why they don't play for USA? Because we're so damn good that they know they're not going to make the team.
When I saw the goalie, it was a blonde chick. I was like, oh, it's the goalie of Switzerland, and that's the goalie of the Philippines. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? like I said, they're all American. But they're also very young, Matias. Like you said, these are like young girls that couldn't make Team USA, but they're still damn good. So, you know, they'll play for their other nationality if they can. They're young. I don't, from watching this, and listen, it's only 5 minutes in, but I don't think Philippines are going to get a lot of opportunities, do you? Like, they're fighting for their life just to not let Switzerland get to midfield.
I don't think they're
going to
have that many opportunities. But there's so many soccer people probably listening to me thinking, this guy's an amateur. How could he say that? What's going to happen in the first 5 minutes of the game?
Yeah, no. You're like, so I did say it's only been 5 minutes. But, no, when you're an in-game bettor, you have to dissect this stuff fast, Matthias, before the numbers change. You know what I'm saying? So, look, no, this is a nice little, look at this. This is a nice little.
100%. You know, the mind starts working in mysterious ways once the game starts going, Gabe. Yeah, especially, you know, we're coming off of Wimbledon, you know what I mean? Where every game matters.
Yeah, that'll mess you with your head. Well, it's like basketball. When people bet, like, an over a basketball game or something, and it's like, it's a slow start, you're like, oh, I'm done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's 7-6, you're like, oh, it's a slow start, man. The late night anger management class. If you are a degenerate gambler, you're in the right place right now, because we're sweating this out. We're doing it. You know, you thought, oh, I'm into it because it was Canada and Nigeria. No. And I did not go any lighter or anything like that. I just sort of flipped this over and said, all right, that's the next game. Let's go. So we got three unders in a row here. I'm betting under 2.5 in game, bro. It's plus, under 3.5 is minus 200 right now. Look, I laid 1.5. I never played the over 2.5. I laid 1.5 with Switzerland, so I could win both these bets. I'm going under 3.5 at minus 200, and I'm going to take under 2.5 right now at plus 125, Matthias. We're going to attack this game, bro.
Nah, you know what? I'm feeling the 2.5, Gabe. I am. I think we're doing it as well. Let's go under 2.5 for sure.
So ideally,
2-0 Switzerland.
Yeah, ideally Switzerland wins 2-0. Then we just sweep this thing. And then we just sweep this thing. For the record, though, and like I said, we're 7 minutes in. It's not like Switzerland are dominating or anything. And in fact, here come the Philippines. And as soon as I click, of course, huh? I swear to God, but these, every time we place a bet, bro, like, the Philippines just nearly scored.
To tell you the truth, though, I see that play now. Nah, yeah, they didn't almost score.
It was close enough. It was a little bit of a worry.
Now
I got a yellow card. It's getting worse.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to the bullpen, Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. What are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Great.
There's been like a bug that landed on my TV like half an hour ago. And he's just sitting there. It's really bothering me. Like, I can really see it. Like, he's sitting on like the pitch. Like, it looks like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, you know, I don't want to kill him or anything like that. I'm like, dude, just fly away or something. Like, you're really starting to bother me here. Like, I can't look away from it. Like, it's been like the last hour, actually. Like, I got big money on these games. I'm looking up and I got this bug. Like, I don't know why. Normally, like, bugs seem to go, like, the top of the corner of a TV or something like that. This guy is, like, literally in the middle. So it's like every time, like, we're at midfield, I got this guy in the middle of my screen here. All right. If anyone watching our video feed sees me get up, it's because it's just driving me crazy.
Hey, let me ask you this. If Switzerland was already winning this game, would you care that much about that bug? But because it's such a dull game, are you like, screw that damn bug?
It's a good point. Like, if this was like an NBA or TBT game, I would have noticed the bug, Matthias. But nothing's happening, so I just see this bug. I'm like, man, this bug's in the middle of the field. It's been there for a while now. All good. So still scoreless. So as I stated, people said tuning in, you're thinking, oh, you guys are crazy. You're breaking down a soccer game 5 minutes in. No, man, if you're betting, you got to be a step ahead of the computer, right? That's going to move the number. So I jumped in and I said, let's go under 2.5. I got under 3.5 at minus 200. So my under 3.5 is now minus 250. I got it at 200. And I said, let's go under the 2.5 at plus 125. And now the under 2.5 is plus 100. Let's bring in JN Reports right now. Big Card Julio, Mile High City Sports Report in the house. What's up, Julio? How you doing tonight?
Gabe, cheers and happy Women's World Cup. I'm with you. Under 2.5. I just grabbed it at even money. Under a half a goal first half at plus 150. And a same game parlay. Under 1.5 first half. Under 3.5. For the match, minus 150, so low scoring.
Every time we all talk, Julio, there's just a near breakaway for Switzerland.
Oh, my God.
Every time we're like, say something, it's like, oh, no. I was kidding about Philippines nearly scoring before. That really wasn't that close, but, yeah, it was a nice attempt. You can sort of see Switzerland are better. Let's see if they're able to finish. Because I tell you, Julio, look, we played three games, bro. We've had two 1-0 games and one 0-0 game. So it's hard to, like, I was thinking, you know what, maybe this is the one. We said before the match started, Switzerland 3-0. Then we're like, okay, I'm not playing the over. I did lay 1.5 with Switzerland, and I got the under 2.5. I got the under 1.5. And if you heard, and I thought, I don't know if you were in a chat, but if you were listening right before, I started jumping in all over this, like, both teams to score, no thing. I don't think the Philippines are going to score unless something crazy happens.
I agree with you, Gabe. I'm even looking right now to keep a clean sheet, and now my screen. Oh,
Phil. Oh, my God. Everything I say, the opposite happens.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're on mute.
Matthias? You see this?
Something stupid, Gabe. If they were going to score, they were going to score on something stupid. And that is something stupid. Just a major mistake in the back line. Goalkeeper coming out of no man's land.
Can't see Philippines scoring. They score 10 seconds later.
Any VAR? Are we going to go?
Oh, offside?
Come on.
Offside. You're offside, girl.
Offside.
You're offside, girl. You're offside, girl. She's like 2-3 feet offside, bro. You're offside.
Woo. Okay.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
You know,
still, hey, you know what?
Just like we were saying, Philippines have no chance of scoring, guys. No chance.
That still doesn't negate the goalkeeper being in the middle of nowhere, man. What the hell is she doing?
What the hell is she doing?
Here we go.
Oh, my God. Oh. Now it's Switzerland.
Do we take Switzerland to not keep a clean sheet then at even money since the Philippines were so close to scoring there?
I don't know. I don't think we know what the hell we're doing anymore.
That's as close as they're going to get, boys.
let's not say definitive anything. Let's just place our bets. No, there's no way. I always hate when people say that, and I've been saying it all night. Nah, there's no way they're going to score. Then, boom, they score. Thank God she was offside. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is killing me. And you saw earlier, Julio, Christine St. Clair missed a penalty kick for Canada earlier tonight, man. You see that? That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's funny. I left work. I go to a bar with some coworkers. I asked the waitress, hey, can you put the Women's World Cup game on? Oh, sorry, our TVs aren't working. So I was kind of glad it missed because I had an in-game under 2.5, 1.5, and 1.5 goals. But that's disappointing to miss a penalty like that.
All right, so the next game up, there's another one. Spain versus Costa Rica coming up at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern tonight. Just like Spain are big favorites here. Spain are 50-1 favorites in this game. You bet $50, you win $1. You bet $100.
Gabe,
Spain are freaking
signs,
good.
Man. Let's follow the signs. Remember in the Men's World Cup, Costa Rica, Spain, first game of the World Cup, was it 7-0 Spain?
Yeah.
Let's
Spain
go.
Are like, you could argue, Matias, that Spain are like the second best team here, too. I know they're not fully 100%, but they're still like really good.
I agree with that. Yeah, they're a threat.
Let's go Asian. Let's see Asian handicap here. Spain, Asian handicap. -4 is -130. We'd have to lay 4 goals. It's not. That's not going to be easy, I tell you. Laying 4, but they'll cover the 4. They'll win like you just said. It was like you said 6-0. It'll be like 7-0. That's the last game of the night, and then the next one. Even though like they're a day ahead, so like these are, and then after, the same calendar day for them, but different for us is USA and Vietnam. So that's like the main event. USA and Vietnam, and Julio, I said earlier, and I've been telling people just to lay the 6 goals. It was 5.5, it was 5.5 earlier in the week. It's up to 6. Let me just confirm it's still 6
now.
Yeah, it is 6, -110, 6. They beat Thailand 13-0 in the last World Cup in the opening. And we'll go over Vietnam scores here, but Vietnam women's soccer, they've been getting lit up, Julio. Like, I expect the USA to win, like, 9, 10, 11, 12 nothing type thing for real.
Well, get this, Gabe. Typically, we spoke about this during the MLS season at the start of a few months ago. Goal in the first 10 minutes. The odds makers think it's a probability that someone's going to score in the first 10 minutes, presumably. The U.S. women, it's +125 for the over.
That's pretty good, bro. I think they will score right away.
Yeah, I mean, typically, again, you'd get maybe 3-4-1, but that's the computers and the odds makers assuming there won't be a goal in the first 10 minutes.
Here's their scores. And they don't get killed all the time. Listen, Spain beat them in the final tune-up here 9-0. So Spain beat Vietnam 9-0. New Zealand beat Vietnam 2-0. Germany beat them 2-1. Vietnam beat Myanmar 2-0. You mean Burma. Vietnam beat Cambodia 4-0. Philippines beat Vietnam 2-1. Vietnam beat Malaysia 3-1. They beat Myanmar 3-1. They beat Nepal 2-0. But, you know, obviously, you know, this is a different level of competition here. I'm going to say USA, Vietnam. I'm going to say 8-0.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's all set. They got the bug boy out.
The bug boy?
Yeah. The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. It rained last night. Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
Nil, nil. We're into the 25th minute right now. Man, I love this stuff. It's great. Now we got the Women's World Cup. You got the TBT basketball tournament. It's going to take us right into the NFL preseason, Julio, and college football's around the corner. And I put my first college football bet in. Syracuse Orangemen under 6.5 wins. Syracuse Orangemen under 6.5 wins. They lost 3 starting offensive linemen. They lost their star running back in Sean Tucker, who's one of their better running backs that they've had in recent years. He's in the NFL now. They lost 3 starting defensive backs. They do have their quarterback back, but they also host the Clemson Tigers. They go to Tallahassee to play Florida State. The following week, they go to Chapel Hill to take on Drake May and the North Carolina Tar Heels, who are going to be stacked this year. Then they go to Virginia Tech. They play Pittsburgh. There's no way in hell they're getting the 7 wins as the Syracuse team this year, Julio. I can go over their schedule officially. They open up with, like, Colgate or something like that. I think they play Colgate or Wagner or whatever in the first few games. No, I think it's Western Michigan, actually. They get Colgate and then Western Michigan. But I'll go over their schedule here. They're not getting the 7, and I have another one to the over that I like that I haven't shared yet. But really like Syracuse to the under 6.5, Julio.
I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I'm in agreement with you, Gabe. You might get a little sweat early in the season, Colgate. Honestly, Western Michigan could pull the upset. They're expected to be better this season. Purdue's supposed to stink. But, yeah, I mean, that's a gauntlet of an ACC schedule where
they're not going to beat Purdue, bro. They're not beating Purdue in Purdue. Look, let's give them Colgate. Western Michigan, Syracuse is a toss-up. Syracuse at Purdue, they're not beating a Big Ten team on the road. Army at Syracuse.
Army.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be favored, but let's see what happens. Clemson at Syracuse. This is the killer for them. Clemson at Syracuse. Syracuse at UNC. Syracuse at Florida State. Syracuse at Virginia Tech. Boston College at Syracuse. Pittsburgh at Syracuse. Then it lightens up at the end here. Best case, I think they're going to end up like a 5-win team this year, maybe 6. Like, I'll give them 6-6, maybe. They're not. I'm not scared of getting to 7. But do we have Angelo Zara in the house yet? Is Angelo with us? Angelo? How you doing, Angelo?
Hey, Gabe, thanks for having me on. Doing pretty decent, and it's always a pleasure to be on.
So are you on this Philippine and Switzerland matchup right now?
I'm not, but I'm going to wait till maybe halftime to see if what the number is for Switzerland on the money line here.
Yeah, there should be some value with it. All right, so have you been betting the Women's World Cup? You have any picks for us for this, or you want to get to the League's Cup?
I have some Women's World Cup, and, yeah, I lost on Canada here. I took a bit of a homer pick and a few parlays, but obviously they could have capitalized today. But, yeah, tomorrow I'm liking USA to smash Vietnam here, -6. I think they rolled them here. They're the favorites of this tournament here, and I like them to win over 6.5 goals at +100. And over the weekend, take another huge favorite here with England to win in over 4.5 goals at -120 over Haiti.
Yeah, you know what? England are lethal, even without Mead. They can still score, and they're going to score. They'll have problems as the tournament goes on, I think. But the big soccer story, Julio, Inter Miami. And, you know, I didn't talk about this, but I saw a story the other day. There were Beckham said, well, you know, we're not sure if he's really going to play on Friday. And I'm thinking, you're not sure. You guys have billboards up, right? I mean, at some point, it's like, no, it's like telling a kid, yeah, Christmas is canceled. It's like, no. I mean, if you guys remember, I freaking told people it'll be July 21st, even before he signed, if you guys remember. I said the plan is to sign him, and they're going to debut him against Cruz Azul and all this. So anyways, the training went well for him. He's going to play, except Beckham was pretty cryptic about the amount of minutes. He said, we have to be careful. It's his first game. He's not playing the full game, but he's going to play. Inter Miami are plus 100. The draw is plus 275. Cruz Azul are plus 250 right now. Cruz Azul are 0-3 to start the Liga MX, Julio. Do you think Inter Miami get it done tomorrow at plus 100?
Oh, boy. I would have liked a better number on Inter Miami instead of even money. I think it's going to be tough. Honestly, I'd rather take the draw plus 275 just based on how many minutes will Messi play. Is he going to play 60 minutes? Can he give him an hour in the humidity in Miami? We'll see, but I'm almost leaning draw and taking both teams to score minus 138.
See, I don't think Messi's the difference maker here. I think Inter Miami can step up knowing that, you know what, guys, if we could just get through this, the deeper we go in this, Messi's going to get in better shape. And Messi's going to get more in a groove, and that's when he can start to take over, right? We've seen some of these bad MLS teams. You remember, Angelo, a couple of years ago, Montreal went to the final of this thing, right? Seattle Sounders won this thing. We've seen current form in the MLS doesn't always translate. I think Inter Miami know that their MLS season is a wash, and they're just going to be, people are going to be happy that Messi's there. I think they think this is the one that they can actually make a little noise in now that they have Messi, if they can get by. Like I said, Cruz is a little bit struggling. I don't hate Julio's draw look. What's your pick, Angelo? Inter Miami draw or Cruz Azul?
Yeah, I like how Julio broke the game down. I'm in agreement. If I were to take a side, I would probably take the draw. But I think I'm liking the over 2.5 goals more on this one, just because Inter Miami, they're playing in wild games in the last few recent matches here. Six of their last seven games, 3 goals have been registered. Six of their last 7 games have seen 3 goals registered. So I think we see both teams score some goals here. I like the over the more than the side here.
Matthias, I am saying 2-1 Inter Miami. Inter Miami win this game. They win the game 2-1. And we'll get to will Messi score? I'll ask you first. So what's your final score prediction here? Inter Miami, Cruz Azul. I say 2-1 Inter Miami.
I think it's 2-0 Inter Miami. I don't think Cruz Azul score a goal tomorrow, man. I think it's going to be humid. I think it's going to be hot. And I think Miami's going to be better prepared. It's our home game.
A home game of all home games, but this Messi's first game, bro. The crowd's going to be lit, bro. They paid thousands of dollars to get in. They're going to be fired up.
I'm with you, man. And they got Busquets. They got Alba. You know, who knows how they're going to play tomorrow. I think they're going to play with some energy. You know, Cruz Azul is not good. That's another thing. Like, they suck.
I know. They're a last place League MX team. Inter Miami can handle them. I'm going out, you know, and it's not like the Messi hype, guys. I just think, you know, I think in the big picture, and also, like I said, Beckham was saying, you know, we'll see about playing and how many minutes and all that, and he went on, and he goes, but I'll tell you what. He said, our fans have come out. He goes, we expect to win. Like, he basically said, we're fired up, we're excited for the this tournament, and, you know, I think they show up. I think the other guys know. And another thing is, too, you got to impress Messi, Angelo, right, if you're playing. Right? Like, you're playing, and, you know, he's going to be watching you. You want to say, you know what? I want to play with this guy. I don't want to get bumped from this team. I want to be part of this, so I'm going to raise my game up a little bit. So I'll ask you, Angelo, does Messi score a goal? Minus 138 that he scores a goal. The first goal of the game is plus 250. The last goal of the game is plus 250, except I don't know if he's starting or coming off the bench tomorrow. So does he score a goal?
Yeah, that's the thing. If he's not going to start, I like him almost to score the last goal of the game. The last goal, yeah. So at plus 250, I think I would go with that. It's tough. Like, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? This is the first time, you know, these two teams are going to meet.
I don't think he scores. I don't think he starts. I don't think he will start. Yeah. I think they're going to bring him off the bench. I think it's less anticlimactic, Julio. You know what I mean? Like, if it's all this hype about him, you get all these people, the world is watching, you're going to put them out there and, what, take them out after 25 minutes or the first heat break or whatever? People are going to be like, it'll be a letdown. Let the anticipation, not to mention, he hasn't been part of the team. You know what I'm saying? You can't just drop this guy. So, like, I would let the game start, and I'd let it build up, let the tension build up and stuff, and then bring him out, you know what I mean, and then unleash him here. Except then people are going to be, whoa, when's he playing? When's he playing? It's going to be a circus tomorrow night. Do you think he scores Julio? Yeah, are you going to bet that Messi scores a goal in his debut tomorrow? Julio.
I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry about that.
Oh, there you go, Julio. Yeah. Does he score?
Hello. I don't think he does score. If anything, I would like to look for an assist prop. Messi to get an assist.
Interesting. Okay, so listen, guys, we've only got 2 minutes. Fun stuff here. I'm disappointed, Angelo, because I'm a big MLS fan, as you know. Mm-hmm. But they're off for a month, yet here we go. We've got a bunch of MLS teams playing tomorrow in the League's Cup. Orlando City, Houston Dynamo, Austin FC, Mazel Tov. We've got FC Dallas, Charlotte FC, and the Vancouver Whitecaps host Lyon from the Ligue MX. What do you like tomorrow best here out of these games? Angelo.
Yeah, I'm going to another, I don't mean to be biased here, but I'd like the Vancouver Whitecaps here at home, plus 162. Leon, I know they're probably the favorites in the group here, beating LAFC in the CONCACAF Champions League not too long ago, but I like the Whitecaps at home here. I think they could get it done. Leon, I think playing on the BC Place turf might screw them up a little bit. I think I like the advantage for the Whitecaps.
Angelo Zara, Zara Picks on Twitter. JN Reports, good stuff, Julio, Angelo. Brett Sobleski will step up and in from the Bleacher Report. We'll go from the soccer pitch to the NFL. Preseason, 2 weeks away. Let's roll.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, and the countdown is getting real right now. We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the National Football League preseason, and we are joined by a man that is every bit as fired up as we are, if not more. Like, this guy's already writing about the running back draft class of 2024. That's why we love him. Brett Sobleski steps up and in for the Bleacher Report. Brett, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
No, thank you for having me, and I think I'll probably be more ready for training camp than the running backs who are currently in contract squabbles, be it Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs. But I don't think they're ever going to get their money in this instance, and that's the way the NFL crumbles nowadays.
And they have no incentive to show up right now or any time before kickoff of week one, where then they'll start losing about $500,000. I believe the exact number is like $561,000. A game that they will miss. How do you think it plays out? Saquon Barkley said earlier in the week, maybe I should just tell them to go F themselves. So clearly he's pretty emotional about it, but we also heard all kinds of stuff between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. You know, things can get ugly at this time of the year when you're negotiating a contract, and once things get worked out, everything's fine again. But can they repair this? Can they repatch this up? What's your take on Saquon first?
No, I believe in both instances, eventually they're going to report once they decide they've lost enough money along the way. And it's unfortunate, right? The running backs, as it currently stands, the positional market, they should be pissed the way they're being treated. But at the same time, the NFL is doing, or at least the teams themselves, are doing what they believe is best for business when it comes to allocation of resources. And that's really the argument here. To me, in certain ways, I think the argument is misguided or even misplaced. And the reason I state that is it dates back essentially to the last collective bargaining agreement, right? When you have veterans who are trying to get a larger piece of the pie and they're cutting out players, speaking specifically of those coming in from the collegiate ranks who have no say because they're no longer or not yet in the NFLPA, then you have certain positions like running back where your best years tend to be when you're younger, and that's when your lowest contracts come. So to me, this is a discussion that shouldn't just be had between teams and players and those individuals, but also within their representation because of the way that everything is currently structured. And next time they go to the table, this needs to be something that can potentially be changed, whether it be they can negotiate new contracts beyond their rookie deals sooner than what we see currently, or whether we even have that rookie slotting system as we currently know it.
You know, I think you're bang on. So what you're saying, and this couldn't be possible, that the NFLPA didn't do their job properly and didn't protect themselves properly and didn't read the future properly. Because as you stated, honestly, I don't even care, Brent, from a business perspective. I'd say I don't care what position, that position, what you guys think. We're not having, you know, 18% of our players get screwed over. Like, you know what I mean? So you can word it any way you want. I don't know. Do they come up with positional, like a minimum payment? Like, in the, as you stated, there's something wrong from a business model. But a lot of these leagues, they all have different flaws with their caps and how they work. Mm-hmm. You look at the NBA in the old days, Brent, like the superstars used to get paid real money, right? Like, you know, Ewing and Jordan and stuff were making more money than guys do now. And the rest of the union realized, they were like, you know, these guys are negotiating deals. Ewing was the head of he was the head of the union. They're negotiating deals for the superstars. And there's a hell of a lot more of us than there is them. So now you look in the NBA, Brent, you know, guys are way overpaid and superstars are making the same amount of money as just sort of average star players are. So there's always nuances to different, you know, to different tactics about how the league's PAs move forward. And we all know that the NFLPA has always been the most incompetent one by far. So let me ask you, too, from a philosophical perspective, from a football perspective, I find it funny and sad and ironic that even fans buy into this. Well, you can't pay a running back. Why would you pay a running back? Running backs are a dime a dozen. And then in a big football game in November, why did our team throw the ball on 3rd and 1? How come we don't pound it in from the end zone? How come we throw the ball so much? It's the idiocy drives me crazy, bro. It's insanity to me.
Well, the one problem I have consistently covering this league is how we treat individuals, right? When we look at the NFL and really any athletics, we have a tendency, because of the advent of Madden football or fantasy football, that they're commodities. Now, these are human beings that have the right to negotiate, and they're all different, and they're all in different situations. That's important. And let me extrapolate that based on what I believe could happen here in the next few weeks. Now, we have talked about Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs as two potential holdouts because they're unlikely to receive new deals. Obviously, they've gone past the franchise tag date, so they're unhappy. Okay, well, what if you're in a situation like the Indianapolis Colts? And I use them as an example because Jonathan Taylor has come into his window to renegotiate his rookie contract and potentially get a contract extension. Now, when you look at the Indianapolis Colts, why would it be smart for them, unlike the other two instances, to extend and to make a significant investment in Taylor? Because you have a quarterback on a rookie wage scale, right? And not only is he on the rookie wage scale, but simultaneously, you're going to have to lean heavily on that running back early in the quarterback's career so he can develop and utilize his full to really develop into his full version of himself. So that's where it comes down to prioritization. And this is something in that overarching discussion that we were just going over. When you look at that negotiation, the prioritization for the players was to get a larger slice of the pie in general, whether it was a 51% to 52%. Whereas the owners, they quote unquote won those negotiations because they appealed to the lowest common denominator. And I'm not trying to use that as a slight against the guys that are on the lower end of rosters, but there's more of them overall. And so when you have owners saying, you know what, we're not going to cater to the superstars. We're going to cater to the guys that want a higher minimum salary. We want guys that are just trying to make it so they can be in the league long enough to get their pension. And that's exactly what they did to get what they wanted, to push it through without thinking, hey, there's other areas we need to address, but we can't get it done because these guys want to get a done deal now through the NFLPA. So it is this huge circle of negotiations that are different for everyone, yet simultaneously not have been addressed by the people that's supposed to be there for them.
And you have to look at it from a player like Jonathan Taylor's perspective, who he's the best player on their team. So imagine if you are the best player on the team, yet you know basically 50% or whatever, 35% of dudes, you're not the highest paid player. You're not even close to the highest paid player on the team, which is going to be frustrating. And last thing about this before we move on from the subject, no one really says this out loud because people, oh, no, no, but yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Like, if I'm a running back, Why would I want to go that extra yard now? Why wouldn't I just step out of bounds? You know what I mean? I get it.
I think it's where those competitive juices kick in.
No, I don't know about you. Yeah, no, you want to be a good teammate. You want to get the – but at the same point in time, look, I did a show with Marshall Faulk, right? I mean, the best of the best. And, man, like, this guy is, like, he's hardcore. Like, he's really like you would think he is in real life, like just total alpha dog type thing, knows football inside out. He basically said point blank, there was a running back that was getting screwed over. And Marshall said, he goes, if I was him, I'd just show up and say I got hurt and wouldn't run for them. I said, I never expected I'd hear that from you, bro. And he goes, F them, man. He goes, we bust up. And he goes, damn right. And he goes, I would run out of bounds. He started telling me, like, I'm not saying they're going to fumble the ball on purpose, but it's like, it's human nature. Like you said, Brent, they're humans. If you know your boss doesn't like you or doesn't care about you, and you know that, you know what, I busted my leg for my boss, I busted this, I did this, I might be taking years off my life for these people, and they quite frankly don't care. So now, quite frankly, maybe I won't show up at 6 in the morning like I used to. Maybe, you know what, maybe I'm not going to do that little event that I used to for these guys anymore, because quite frankly, they don't care. It begins, Brent, I'm telling you.
I think the most interesting negotiation that could be coming is no one we're discussing at the moment. It's next year when Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns, who was just voted the number one running back in the NFL by those within the league, courtesy of ESPN, who keeps his mouth shut at everything he does. He does everything team first. He works his butt off, if anyone has seen his weightlifting
and he's dealt
videos,
with bad play calling and stuff. He's been misused. He could even be better. You know what I mean?
But take into account, he has one more year remaining on his current deal. There's no guaranteed money on that deal. So how are the Cleveland Browns going to address it? How will the rest of the running backs around the league look at someone that is a true trendsetter when it comes to the position, the very best of the best, and how they treat him? And I think that's where we'll finally get our answer one way or the other.
We see, great call. I want to ask you about the Browns on the way out here. But we see that, like running back C. So they're like, all right, so what? You're going to run my ass into the ground and then chew me up and spit me out. So, and they know it going in. It's sort of like the Hollywood writers right now. Yeah, they're right. You know what I mean, Brent? You're right. No one's disputing. You're right. At the same point in time, you're not promised a fair wage if you want to get in the entertainment industry. That's, you know, you're trying to play a lottery ticket here, man. Like, it's sort of... You know, two things can be right at the same time, but a great point as far as Hunt is concerned. What's their offense going to be this year? I actually think, you know, with all the stuff that's gone around them, I'm not a big Stefanski guy. It's always the quarterback's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Like, so what, short of Joe Montana or Tom Brady? And, like, what more can they have given him from a football perspective? This division is so tough. What do you think of the Browns as we're just 2 weeks away from their first preseason game now?
Now, one, I agree. The AFC North is going to be an absolute dogfight this year. Every team's solid to very good. There's no cupcakes when it comes to the AFC North, as we grew accustomed to for a long, long time, and that team usually being the Cleveland Browns. But in this instance, when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, I look at it as a make-or-break season. You know, he came into the league, was NFL Coach of the Year. They got to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years, won their first playoff game since 1994, and everything seemed to be trending in the right direction for the first time since the franchise, quote-unquote, rebirth. But at the same time, as you rightly stated, there have always been excuses. Well, those excuses are now gone. You didn't think you had the quarterback? Well, you went out and got Deshaun Watson. We can say whatever we want about Deshaun Watson, but they view him as a franchise quarterback. He needs to play like one. They need to place him in a position where he can succeed. Okay, you had issues on special teams and with your defensive coordinator. Both of them were fired this past year. You bring in Jim Schwartz, who's an upgrade, and then you also get Bubba Ventrone for special teams, who's also an upgrade. Okay, what happens when things fall apart again or things don't go correctly? You can't fire your offensive play caller because, well, you know, that's also the head coach. So there's no excuses there either. So I'm looking at Cleveland thinking to myself, playoffs are a minimum. Absolute bare minimum. If they don't make some type of run this year, it's another reset. And it's the next guy thinking to themselves, okay, how can I win with Deshaun Watson? How can I deal with Nick Chubb if there's a potential contract negotiation? What's going to happen with Myles Garrett if he's not getting the help he rightly needs when he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL? And I think that's what it comes down to. Cleveland, with that type of pressure on them this year for the first time really in a long, long time, basically dating back to those mid-90s teams with Bill Belichick as head coach.
Brent Sobleski with his time always just flies by. And I couldn't help but think, I know I was still thinking about some people thinking, nah, you're crazy. Your guy wouldn't step out of bounds or wouldn't do that. Look, Baker Mayfield and his people were convinced that Stefanski was calling play specifically to make him look bad. So, you know, that's what I'm telling you guys, right or wrong. Brent, what he said earlier, it's not a video game. These are real people that have big time egos that also are conspiracy theorists as well. Hey, Brent, man, time just flew by. Can't wait for the start of this. Let's do it again before the season starts. It's always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate it as always.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, even though you know it's true, I still fall for it. I shouldn't, but I am like just like a big kid still, even in my older years, in which, Matias, I've drank in like 9 Coca-Colas, you know what I mean? It's all hot, I'm doing the show, boom, 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 I crush a Coke. 5 minutes later, I'm like, damn, am I thirsty. Then I drink another Coke, and I'm, damn, am I thirsty. And being a radio host, not a good idea to drink soda and stuff, right? Sometimes you got to pause, you want to burp, and like, you know what I mean? It's not good. And finally, I was like, you know, I got to stop drinking this Coke. I got to drink water. And I drank a bottle of water, and I do feel much better right now. I'm like Cristiano Ronaldo, man. Get that Coke away from me. Remember he said, Coca-Cola. So we went with the water. So let's get you caught up to date. Actually, I want to get into the TBT a little bit. We're not done. Rob Vino is going to join us at Level 3. We'll talk CFL football the rest of the games this week. But the TBT basketball tournament's going on. We're winning. You know, we're basically going like 2-1, 3-2. Like, you know what I mean? We're winning more than we're losing. It's one of these deals where you're not going to win every game. You got to accept that. Like, you know what I mean? You got to accept. It's pick up basket street ball, right? It's like, okay. And there's no game tape. You're relying on, all right, they've been in the tournament before. I've seen this team play. I know what these guys are about. And then you sort of have to go on gut instinct and say, you know what? Their style will cause the other team's style problems. But what's really cool is I was looking at so I'm looking at the card for tomorrow. First game up is the Program for Autism. They've been around this team. You know, they play for Autism Charity. The players split the money, et cetera, with the charity. They're playing Team DRC. And I'm like, Team DRC, huh? You know who Team DRC is? It's Dominic Rogers Cromartie. Like, that's what I'm talking about, like, how cool this tournament is. Like, you have a 2-time Pro Bowl defensive back, retired NFL player, that has his own team in this tournament. He put the money up. He's got his boys. Let's go. They've been in this tournament before, and they've entered the tournament twice before. Both times, they won 2 games. So they've never lost the first game before. They're 11.5-point underdogs against the Program for Autism. First game up, 1 o'clock Eastern, ESPN. We'll break it down on the other side. Bring it.